The words of life. They're wonderful. They're beautiful. And I imagine some of you have some favorites. And I'd like to ask this morning three people, I don't know who you are, but would you, I just want to take a moment and have three of you, would you just share, what's your favorite verse? Do you have a favorite verse that you have come to treasure that you could just maybe, if you have to look it up, fine, maybe it's a fresh verse. Maybe, you know, verses come and they're favorites for seasons. And maybe it's a fresh verse that you've had that the Lord has brought to you and you say, you know, this is my favorite verse. Is there anybody here who would like to share a favorite verse that they have? Amen. Philippians 2, 10 through 14 or so. 12? Great. Somebody else? Yes, please. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. I'm going to come back to that one later. Great. Mel, speak up nice and loud, buddy. Isaiah 41. Beautiful words. Wonderful words of life. Now you all, as you were thinking, what verse would I go to, came up with one or were finding one, and my guess is that you were drawn to a passage because sometime along the way in your life, some point, at some place, God spoke those words to you in a context. In a context of your life where you were struggling, where you were wrestling, and God brought you truth to bring to light on your situation, and you've come to treasure those words. Those beautiful words. Those wonderful words that have brought life to you. I want to commend to you this morning, at the beginning of this new year, I want to commend to you a new diet plan. Okay? Now I know we've all gone through the holidays and we're all probably got one notch on our belt a little farther down the line than what we'd liked. But I want to commend to you a diet this coming year. And it's not about physical food. It's more along the lines of what Pastor David has been leading us into. It's along the lines of the food of God's Word. Jesus quoted a verse from Deuteronomy 8:3 in the midst of his defense against the enemy in his wilderness temptation. He said these words, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Feeding and feasting on the Word of God is absolutely essential for our lives. It's a non-negotiable nutrient for our survival and our productivity in life. Have you ever thought what it means that we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord? How can words give and sustain a person's life? How can words do that? The verse says that food is not enough for us to live on. Man does not live by bread alone. You cannot live your life to its fullest. You cannot experience the fullness of life, life as it's truly designed to be lived, if all you do is fill yourself with the food of this world. You cannot live on bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It might be enough, the food that we eat, to give us energy to live in the physical realm. You might be able to sustain a life for 60, 70, 80, 90. I heard just recently this week the oldest woman known in the world at 115 this week, she died. You could live on food to get you through that, but you cannot live life as it's truly been designed if that's all you're going to feed on. Because there is a spiritual realm. There is a spiritual reality of life. And the only way you're going to live in the spiritual realm is to feed on the Word. The Word made flesh who dwelt among us, Jesus Christ, and every word that has proceeded from His mouth and from the Father's mouth through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who is God, given to us in the Scriptures. That is the way we will live. You must live by every word that proceeds from His mouth. There's a realm of life that requires a different kind of nutrition. And without that nutrition to sustain and to energize us, we'll become weak, anemic, useless creatures, unable to function or defend ourselves in the realm of the Spirit, as unseen forces make every effort to deceive us into believing that we're doing just fine living in the physical. I want to give you 5 reasons this morning why I'm commending you to a diet of God's Word this year to sustain you, to energize you, to equip you to live life like you've never lived it before. We've got a new year ahead of us. Let this be the year where you live life like you've never lived it before. And if you're going to do that in the spiritual realm, you need a diet, a steady, constant, consistent diet on God's Word. Now, I didn't put the sermon notes in the bulletin today. And frankly, I forgot. But lucky for me, and lucky for you, everything that I'm going to teach you this morning, everything that I'm preaching here this morning is in the newsletter. I wrote this article for the newsletter, knowing that the new year was coming and we've got the newsletter out in the foyer. And as I was thinking and writing this newsletter article, I thought, you know, this is a really good sermon. I should preach this. And so I went to my wife, who I always go to get, you know, kind of the confirmations that I need. And I said, you know, do you think I should preach this? And she said, yeah, preach it. So everything's here that I'm going to say, almost everything. I embellished it a little bit. But most of the information is in the foyer in the newsletter. So if you want to just sit back and listen, don't have to take notes, that's fine this morning. But let me give you the 5 reasons why we need to habitually and addictively, and I mean that. I hope we all have addictive tendencies. Be addicted. But be addicted to the right things. Get addicted to the Word of God. Go, get cravings. Get yearnings. Get longings. Get hunger. Get passions. Get that feeling like, you know, I just can't resist reading my Bible. Getting into the Word of God. Get addicted to God's Word. And here's 5 reasons why you should do this. First of all, God's Word concerning Jesus Christ is the power of salvation to all who believe it. Without Jesus Christ, we are all destined to an eternity of judgment, the wrath of God. We need to be saved. Every person needs salvation. The Word of God is the power unto salvation to all who will believe it. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. The only way you're going to gain salvation is if you are made righteous. And in the gospel, there is righteousness revealed. That righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Jesus Christ satisfies all of the requirements that God demands of humanity. The righteousness of Jesus Christ satisfies all of the justice that God requires of humanity. The gospel reveals that in Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God is satisfied. And when you, by faith, receive Him, embrace Him, you hear the Word, and you faith is born, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ as it's spoken. In it, the Word has the power to give birth to faith. Faith produces salvation. Righteousness is imputed, imparted, deposited in us through the Son, Jesus Christ, and His Spirit who comes and indwells every person who by faith embraces what Jesus Christ has done. The Word of God concerning Jesus Christ is the power of salvation to everyone who believes it. You need to be addicted to this Word. You need salvation. You need the righteousness of God imputed to you. Not just for the moment of conversion, but for the rest of your life. You need to be putting your faith in Jesus Christ constantly. And the Word of God is the power of God for that salvation, so that you can live out your life in the righteousness of Christ. You will not be able to do it without the Spirit of God being imparted to you and the righteousness of God being imputed to you. It's the Word of God. You've got to be addicted to this Word. Jesus, made flesh, come, dwelt among us, revealing all that Jesus has, all that God has produced, expressed. Hebrews 1:3. Great, great verse. Jesus is the has in the past, I can't quote it, I'm paraphrasing it, but in the past, the writer says, God spoke to us with many different ways, in many different forms. He spoke through the prophets. But now, in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. The Word has become flesh. And He is the exact representation. He is the radiance of God's glory. You see Jesus, you understand Jesus, you know God. And this is life, to know God, the one true God. Life and faith flow from the hearing, from the reading, from the contemplation of God's Word. It means gaining the beautiful life that Christ offers to us. I remember watching this happen. Watching faith being born. I remember watching an experience that I had. Some of you remember Angie and Armando Colon. A young couple who were struggling, came from very dysfunctional homes. Some of you were very instrumental in helping them and come alongside of them. And I spent some time with Armando. Armando had come from a background. He'd grown up as a foster kid. He'd struggled with drugs. He'd struggled with alcohol. He was in this relationship with Angie. They weren't married. You know, it was just kind of the typical life that many people have experienced and are walking through right now. And they were searching. They were searching for answers. And I remember sitting down with Armando and Angie. They came over to our house. They sat in our living room together. We got to talking about, he had watched a movie, I think kind of an apocalyptic kind of movie, and it stirred up some feelings in him about the eternity. And we got to talking about heaven and hell and the realities of a real hell and a real heaven and the necessity to put your faith in Jesus Christ in order to avoid hell and to gain heaven. And I began to tell him about what Christ had done to satisfy and shared, laid out the gospel, how Jesus had come and had died and taken our place and And we, by faith, if we entrust ourselves to Him and accept the gift of forgiveness that He offers to us and the payment for our sins, that we can avoid hell and we can gain heaven. And we talked about that back and forth. And there came a point in the conversation. I'm sharing along and I'm getting to this. And all of a sudden I see Armando, just his whole body, his shoulders dropped. He kind of leaned back in his chair. And I mean, he was just kind of like, you know, he's just landing. And this, and if you remember Armando, some of you remember him, the greatest smile. And this little grin came up on his face. And I'm like, something's happening here. And I stopped and I said, Armando, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? And he says, no, I feel all warm inside. And I believe. It all makes sense to me now. And I believe. I believe what you're telling me. And I was just like, wow! It happened! The Word of God, as it was spoken, produced faith. The Word of Christ gave birth in this man, faith to believe, and this man was just saved. Salvation came in that moment to Armando. And he was saved before our very eyes. That's the Word of God at work. That's the power of the Holy Spirit taking His Word and accomplishing what He promises to do. You and I need that. We need the Spirit to take the Word as it's spoken, as it's read, as it's put into our minds, and we need the work of the Spirit to create life in us. You need to get addicted to the Word. Number two, God's Word sanctifies, meaning it washes and cleanses us of the filth of sin in our lives. This is what Jesus prayed for us in His high priestly prayer. John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify means to cleanse. Sanctify means to set apart. Sanctification is the process of purifying us, of making what has happened in the moment of justification now our experience in life until glorification. Sanctify them, Jesus prays. Father, sanctify your disciples in the truth. Your word is truth. It can't get much clearer than that, my friends. We need the Word of God to wash us, to cleanse us, to sanctify us, to purify us from the filth of our sin. We live in a state of in-between. It's the already and the not yet experience that we have in this life. Already we've been justified. Not yet we are glorified. We live in the process in between. We experience many of the benefits of the already. But there's a lot more to come in the not yet. We need to walk through that process. And the process of the means by which we walk through the process is that we immerse ourselves in the truth. And the truth sanctifies us. It cleanses us. It cuts at the root. It severs the root of sin in our lives. We must be addicted to this. This is what 1 Peter 1:22 says. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, you got to know the truth if you're going to obey it. If you want to experience purity in your soul, you've got to know the truth and walk in obedience to the truth. That process purifies your soul. It cleanses the filth of sin in our lives. having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. If you're going to have a pure heart, this is how it's going to come. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Purity, righteousness, holiness comes through the cleansing of our minds and our hearts as we immerse ourselves, open ourselves, put ourselves in a posture where the living Word of God can work. We're only fooling ourselves if we think that we can walk through this world in purity if we never wash our minds and our hearts with God's Word. You cannot walk in purity if you're not addicted to this stuff. If you're not feeding your mind, your heart, being washed, cleansed, absorbing it, taking it in, getting it all over you. You can't expect to go out there and live in the world and not get stained. Number three. Another reason why you need a steady diet, daily feeding on the Word of God. Because God's Word revives us when we're weary. Revives us. Reading and meditating on the Word of God is to the soul as what? Drinking Gatorade is to an athlete. I mean, the athlete comes off the field, he's drained, and he needs some energy. He needs to be refreshed. He needs to be revived. Maybe for you it'd be coffee. The Word of God is like stopping at Starbucks every morning. You need to be revived. You need to be stimulated. You need to be brought to reality. The Word of God says, it claims, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. That's what it promises. The Scriptures are designed to give you spiritual ammunition to revive and restore you in the midst of your daily battle with sin, with the enemy, with the world, with all of the challenges you face. You need it. It will revive your soul. Remember Elijah? Mount Carmel, that big confrontation that he had with the prophets of Baal, and God does this mighty work, and he's exhausted. He runs ahead of Jezebel ahead of Ahab to the city, and Jezebel is now furious, and he walks to Mount Sinai. He's exhausted. And he's in the cave and he's depressed. Some of you are exhausted. Some of you are experiencing depression. Some of you are frustrated. Some of you are just weary because of life. And the storm, God comes in the fire, in the earthquake, and in the storm, and the noise, and the thunder, and the rocks, and then He comes in the small, still voice of His Word. And Elijah realizes that's where it's at. It's in the Word. It's in the Spirit speaking. You need to be revived. Daily. We expend ourselves spiritually. We must. We need to. We have to. It's a reality of life that we are weak and weary by the end of the day because of the onslaught of the enemy. And if you don't get the rest you need and the soul reviving work of His Word in your life, you're gonna get weary, kind of worn out. You need the Word of God. Proverbs 25:13 says, like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the souls of his masters. Now, I was thinking about this the first weekend. Okay, the first weekend we had our snow, when it was fresh and it was a wonderful experience. I looked out the window that first morning when we got those first several inches and it was coming down, and I looked out there and everything looked different. It was beautiful. You know, the wind hadn't come hard. It had just come down in huge flakes. And it was just, you know, this pristine white all over the grass and in the trees. And I just thought, my goodness, this is glorious. And the kids woke up and everything changed in the day. Right? It was like, snow, no school, yeah, we're going sledding. And breakfast got postponed. Everybody got their boots on. We all got out there. We're going down the hill, and we have a fun little hill for us. And we were sledding, and it was, you know, it was snowballs, and it was wrestling in the snow, and the whole day got changed. And the excitement, the anticipation, the fun, because the snow had descended. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the souls of his masters. I was thinking about that snow and I thought, you know, I think that's so much like Lamentations 3 that says, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. And when I wake up in the morning, I need to look, I need to come to His Word. I need to hear the messenger like snow fall upon me and restore me and refresh my soul so that I can look out on the day and I can think, isn't this cool? Look at what's in store for me. This is Your agenda, Lord. This is Your day. And it's fresh. New mercies that's just fallen. As I've been in Your Word this morning, as I come, I need to be revived. I'm weary, Lord. I just spent yesterday in whatever, and I need the fresh fall of Your mercy like snow that refreshes. Be the messenger that speaks to my soul. We need to be told day in and day out of the faithfulness and the steadfastness of God's power. You need to be reminded again and again of the sufficiency of His grace. You need to hear over and over again that God is kind unto you. You need to know that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. And that in that, we are more than conquerors. We need to remember that we are no more. We are... There is no condemnation for those who walk in Christ, who have trusted Him. We need to know and understand and revel and rejoice in the reality that God demonstrated His love for us and that while we were still sinners, He died for us. We need to understand the power of these verses. That when you wait upon the Lord, like Mel said, you can walk and not be weary. You can run and not be faint. You can mount up, soar like with wings like eagles. If you just wait on the Lord, and He speaks to you, and refreshes your soul and revives you, you need this Word. Number four, God's Word is our weapon of warfare. Last week we were reminded in Acts 16 of the slave girl. What time does that say? 4:30. I'm sorry, I can't read it. Okay, thank you. I thought it said noon. Sorry. I'll try and get quickly through this. God's Word is our weapon of warfare. Acts 16, remember, spiritual warfare is a reality that we live in. The slave girl reminded us the demonic forces are aroused whenever we move forward with God's kingdom work. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end to which it leads is death. We are constantly confronted with temptation. There are ways that seem right to us, but those ways lead to death. The enemy knows that. He's aware of your weakness. He knows what your tendencies are, and he will tempt you. And if you are not equipped to overcome, if you are not equipped to resist the temptation with the Word of God, you will succumb. You need this Word. There's a reason why Paul calls the Word of God the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is meant to be an assault weapon against the deceptive schemes of the enemy. His tactic is to undermine your faith. He will use whatever means, whatever circumstances available to him. He wants to undermine your faith. He wants to cause fear. He wants to create doubt. He wants to cause anxiety. He wants to set before you lust. He wants to put before you things that you will covet, that will take the place of God. He will do everything he can to undermine your faith, to cause you to doubt the truth of God's Word. You need the truth of God's Word in order to defend yourself, in order to undermine this sin nature that's in you, that's going to draw you away from God's ways. You need the Word of God. It's a weapon. You've got to be able to use it. You've got to know how to handle the sword. You gotta exercise some muscles. You can't drag the sword along or have it in your sheath thinking that you can pull it out if you've never used it. You've got to use this Word. It's your weapon of warfare. So you need to do what our dear friend in the back said. Take a verse like 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. And realize that we are in a war, and it's not like the war of the world. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, we have the power to demolish the arguments and the pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. You see how it works? You've got to pull out the sword of the Spirit. You got to take out where can you know God? Where can you find out what He's like? When the doubt comes, when the fear comes, when the temptation comes, that says this is a better way to do it. This is a more enjoyable path. And it's not God's path. You've got to be able to take your sword out and say, I need to know. This is pretending to be like God. It's not. How do I know that? Because I know from what God's Word says. This revelation of God's Word tells me that He is not about producing doubt, anxiety, fear. We don't have a spirit of fear. We're given a spirit of sound mind and discipline and love. You got to pull out your sword. You got to take Romans 12:1-2, and you got to say, okay, I'm presenting myself as, by the mercies of God, I present myself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. I'm not going to conform myself to this pattern of the world anymore. I'm going to be transformed. How am I going to transform? I'm not going to be that way anymore. I'm going to be a different way. How am I going to do that? By the renewing of your mind. By taking captive every thought and making it obedient to the Word, to Christ, to the truth. You need to be able to... You should be constantly asking the question every day of your life, is this true? Is this really true? Is this the truth? And what I'm thinking, and what I'm believing, and what I'm understanding, is my perception true? And you need to match it up against Christ, the truth, God's Word. And you need to say, I'm going to take captive that thought and bring it under the obedience of Christ and let Him tell me what's true. Because I'm not going to go over here to doubt when I need to live by faith in Jesus Christ and His promises. It's your weapon of warfare. You cannot live this life without knowing this truth. So get addicted to it. Immerse yourself in it. Oh my. God's Word offers countless benefits. Number 5, I just say, go every morning to the Word of God, and I'm preaching to myself as well, let's go every morning to the Word of God like it's Christmas. Oh, we got another present under the tree. We've got another benefit. We got another blessing. God wants to show me something new. There's blessings when we get into the Word of God. There's guidance. Psalm 119, 105, Janelle played it during the offertory. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is guidance. This is the benefit. God, show me the way. Prosperity, Psalm 103. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, but walks in the way of the, or nor in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scoffer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. And in all everything that he does, he prospers. Why? Because he's meditating day and night on the Word of God. Prosperity comes. It's a benefit. It's a benefit. Training, correction, reproof, teaching. In righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. That the man of God may be competent, fully equipped for every good work. How? Because you immerse yourself in the God-breathed Scriptures. And you experience the correction, the reproof, the training, and all of that. Freedom, John 8:32. An objective perspective on life, James 1:22 through 25. The discernment of your motives in your heart, Hebrews 4:12, and many, many more blessings. Where would we be without these in our lives, folks? If we didn't have the Word of God, we wouldn't have these blessings. So shame on us if we think that understanding as much as we can of God's Word is optional. Take it or leave it. It's not. Reading, meditating, ruminating, contemplating, applying, analyzing, memorizing, studying, discussing, pondering, reflecting, treasuring God's Word in our hearts will only make us glad, faith-filled, spiritually vibrant creatures. Why would you not want that? So I commend to you again the habitual, addictive pursuit of knowing God through His Word. Let me take the last 3-4 minutes I have here that are past my time. Thank you, Florence. I want to give you, we have available to you, this is kind of like a little commercial here, but it's all tied in. My greatest concern is your walk with Jesus Christ this year. We have three tools that we want to make available to you, for you to pursue this with vigor and gusto and energy and focus. Okay? The first one, last year we put together, made available a reading plan. How many of you read through the Bible in this year? How many of you did it? That is awesome. Well done. Well done. That takes discipline. That takes hard work. Many of us have tried it and we've not gotten there. You accomplished it. Well done. That is healthy. There's a reading plan. I like this reading plan. It's the Disciple Journal's reading plan. I like it because it gives you an outline. It lays it out for 25 days of the month. So you got 5 days at the end of the month to catch up. Okay? So it doesn't, you don't feel so guilty if you miss a day or two. You got time to catch up in the middle of it. So for 25 days each month, you can read 4 sections. Out of the Old Testament, it's the Genesis. Starts in Genesis, Psalms, Matthew, and Acts. and you will read through the Old Testament and the New Testament in a year. You take this, you cut it into four pieces, you stick it in your Bible, it becomes a bookmark. And you just walk through, little check mark. There's 50 copies of this out there. We had what? We had maybe a dozen or 15 people raise their hands. Can we have 50 of us? Can 50 people from our church at the end of next year, at the end of this year, say, yeah, I did that. I did it. I did it. It was very cool. And you talk to anybody who did it, and they will encourage you. They won't say, you shouldn't do that. Probably not a good thing. I could have used my time better. They're going to tell you, do it. So, there's that. Out there, I didn't bring it. Out there on the table are a stack of memory verses. Okay? There's a stack of there's 50, we're going to start putting together the 3x5 cards of this month's memory verse. Okay? Take the card or do it on your own. But get the card, find a place. I have a little pouch in my backpack that I carry my memory verse cards. And when I'm on the bus or in the waiting room at the, you know, wherever, I'll take them out. Last night I pulled out the one for this month right before I went to bed. Took me about 10 minutes of just kind of reading through it, and I almost got it down, I think. And it takes review. Memory work takes review. Now, some of you older folks, let me just say, you need to not give the excuse that, I have these senior things. You know what? It's muscles. It's mental muscle that you need to exercise. Now, as we get older, it's always a little harder to get into the exercise routine. But, my friends, there may come a time when you can't see the Word. And you need it. And therefore, you should be taking every full advantage of every moment that you have in this life to deposit that in your mind and in your heart so that when the day comes when you can't read it anymore, it's still there. You can draw from the promises and the depth in the midst of your whatever. We're all going to go there. We're all going to get there. And I need the Word of God there when I get there. So take the memory card. The last one is a journal. We got about 16 of these journals out there. I simply went to Ross. Here's a little plug for the Ross store. They've got great little journals for cheap. $4, $5, $6, $7. You can pick up a hardback journal, and along with it is this little card now. Okay? This is just a guide to scripture journaling. And it's the acrostic SOAP. SOAP stands for S is for scripture. Find a scripture. Whatever. If you're doing the reading plan and something hits you, you say, oh, wow, that's a cool verse. That's a cool passage. I want to write that down. And you go to your journal and you just write it down. There's the scripture. I've got some questions here. Choose a passage. Reflect upon it. Perhaps it's a passage from your reading plan. Perhaps it's your monthly memory verse. Perhaps it's another text that you're working through on your own. I do this. This is my habit now of working through the Scripture. I've been having a great time in the book of Hebrews lately. Oh, man, it's just been so cool. I've never read Hebrews the way I've been reading it. And I've been writing and thinking through and putting down lessons. O is for observation. What's being said? What's the logic of the statement? What does the verse say about God? What does the verse say about me? What's the verse say about the world? Just reflect on it. Think, come to the text with some questions. What do I want to learn? I want to learn something today. Well, what is this saying? What is it saying about who God is? Just write down simple observations. Paraphrase the verse in your own words. Do something. Write it down, whatever the lesson is that you're learning. And then begin to apply it. A is for application. Scripture, observation, application. What is this? How does this change my perspective? What is this telling me about the way I should handle today? What is this? What does this tell me about the relationship I have? How should I treat this person in the relationship at work or whatever? What does this verse say? I'm applying it. And then P is for prayer. And if you want to write out a prayer, use a journal. Write down your prayer. Lord, thank you for your word today. It's so fresh to me. It's like snow. And just reflect. And then you have something that God may use. You have a tool now. You have something. God may say, you know, I want you to teach Sunday school. I want you to share in your small group this lesson. You've got it here, and God can use this now. You know, you may have to come back and say, what did I learn back there? Oh, yeah. No kidding. You are that way, aren't you, Lord? I remember that now. $5, please, for the journal. Just stick it in the box. Pick up the reading plan. Grab a memory verse card. Go. Get addicted to the Word of God, or we will die. Let's stand together. Worship team, come up here. Before we sing, I want you to just come now in response. And I want you to ask God. I remember how I was going to finish this off. I want to make very, very clear before we leave this place. All of this stuff about reading God's Word, all of these tools, memorizing, you know, journaling, whatever. Hear me loud and clear. This is not about a legalistic approach to God. This is not about, okay, I got to do this now. And if I do this, then God's going to bless him. Okay. This is not what this is about. This is about drawing on the resources that God has available to us in order that we might live from our relationship with Christ, not for it. The difference. You know, enjoy this. Love this. Live this. Embrace this with great anticipation and excitement and do what you can in the power of the Spirit. Allow the Spirit to bring you along in this. Embrace it to the best of your ability, your heart's desire, the pursuit of Him. Don't do this to say, I did it. Do it. Do it. Pursue God because He is the good news. He is the life. He is the way. He is the truth. Know Him. Love Him. Pursue Him. Walk with Him. Enjoy Him. Long for Him. Delight yourself in Him, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So we're going to go. This song is called Before the Throne of God. And I say, let's commit to going before the throne of God through the person of Jesus Christ with confidence in what He's done for us. We can come before Him and find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Father, we come before your throne, knowing that you're a God who wants to impart your word to us to accomplish all that it can accomplish through your Spirit. So we surrender to you before your throne now.
Perfectly The great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hand. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me then depart. No tongue can bid me then depart. When Satan tempts me to despair, tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, King of glory and of grace. What in himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. What in himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Okay, so here's your assignment. Okay, just as you go out, pick up your newsletter. Okay, it's got everything we talked about, almost. Grab something from the table there. If you want, if there's not a journal there, if they're all gone or whatever, let me know. We'll get more probably. We'll maybe set out a paper. You can sign your name up. Yes, I want a journal. We'll get some more. Grab a reading plan. Grab a memory verse. Whatever the Lord leads you into doing, do it in grace. Do it in His strength. Do it in His power. Come to it with His help. Your life is hid in Christ. He wants to give you that life. Embrace it. Pursue it. For your joy. For His glory. There's something else, but I forgot. Let's pray. Father, You are good to us. We love You. We want to pursue You because we know that in Your pursuit of us, it's for our good. You want to make us like Jesus. What a great thing. You want us to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to be satisfied. You want us pure in heart so that we'll see You. You want us meek that we might inherit the earth. Lord, what good things You have for us. And so we thank You for the means that You have made available to us in Your Word to know You. And I pray, Father, that Your Spirit now would descend upon each one of us and anoint us with a passion and a hunger for You that can be only satisfied in our relationship with You. And we want to just say thank You for Your Word. Oh, Lord, thank You that You've revealed Yourself to us. Now glorify Yourself through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.